Welcome home, neighbors.
This is the Galvin family from Chicago, Illinois, and owners at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort. You're listening to my DVC Point.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed. Your fast passes are booked. Pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 67 of the My DVC Points podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at DVCResaleMarket.com. If you've got extra points that you can't use, head on over to DVC Rental Store, fill out the member application. You will literally see hundreds of families that are wanting to come to Walt Disney World and try out DVC. If you can't use your points, let another family come back in and experience those magical memories. And DVC Rental Store can put cash in your pocket or can help you do a swap to a cruise, an Adventures by Disney, or even a cash room on property. DVCRentalStore.com. Today's episode will be kicking off our Disney Riviera Resort Review series, but it's a transitional episode. It's a full-blown interview with my friend Micah. Now, for those of you who may be new to DVC, Riviera Resort kind of has a bad rap for those of us who have been around DVC for a few years in the fact that this is the first resort to come out with the new Disney's resale restrictions. So that means when the owners of these resorts get ready to sell their property, whoever buys it can only stay at Riviera. The DVC community has a major concern that this is going to significantly drive down the value of these resale contracts. And so people who have been around DVC for quite some time and are used to buying resale and are huge fans, really have this skepticism about the Riviera Resort. We tend to think of it as it's not a great value. Now, we're talking with my friend Micah today, and I'm going to argue that Micah is the most value-orientated Disney content creator I know. If you've ever used the site mouseperks.com, you've benefited from Micah's research. He spends hours researching and collecting data about how we can use DVC discount, annual pass discount, Tables in Wonderland, and Disney Visa. And he puts this all together in a website that makes it extremely helpful and easy to see where we can get our discounts. So this sets up a nice tension in this episode, and it kicks off this series rather nicely. Is the Riviera Resort a really bad move and a bad value? Or can somebody who's very value-orientated own the resort? Well, we'll talk to Micah and find out what his thoughts are. And then following this episode, we'll be talking with four more Riviera owners specifically about how they addressed the resale restrictions and why they bought in. Let's jump into today's show. Well, I'd like to welcome to the show today, Micah Weiss. How are you doing today, Micah?
Hey, Chad. I'm doing great. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
But I'm just really excited to have you here. I think I'm more excited to have you here than you are to be.
Well, I'm excited too. This should be a lot of fun.
Micah, when did you guys start coming to Disney and what's the origins of this DVC story for you?
So I went a couple times as a kid, have some memories of it, but nothing too concrete. And then as I got older, got married, we went to Disney once for a couple days, but it wasn't a big part of our life really. It was in 2010 when we went with our son, who was 1.5 at the time, that things kind of clicked for us and we really saw the magic and started enjoying Disney more. And at the time, we were just looking for a place to get out of Wisconsin in the middle of winter, which we always like to go on trips and go to Jamaica or go to other places warm to get out of winter. And so with a 1.5-year-old, we said, well, let's go to Florida. Let's try Disney World. And after that trip, it really just clicked with us that it's a truly great place for the kids and it's a great place for the adults. And we all had a great trip. So we immediately started planning our next trip, had another son in the meantime, and took both of them back in 2012. And in 2013 is when we actually decided to buy into DVC, and then we knew we wanted to make this a yearly thing. And we've made it a yearly thing ever since.
Awesome.
We almost always go in January. It has to do with, like I said, the weather and getting out of Wisconsin in the winter.
I'm in Michigan, brother. You don't have to tell me about that one.
Exactly. And then it's also been a good time as far as crowds go. It's not quite as low as it used to be anymore, but it's still a good time to go and a good way to help get you through. After we did annual passes, we started going in the summer just as kind of a bonus trip. And what we've been doing with our annual passes, we buy them one January and we use them the next January right at the end. Then we take a year off and we do it again. So we're buying annual passes every other year, but we're traveling yearly. We're just making sure that those trips are a little bit less than 12 months apart.
Yeah, I call that AP looping.
Yeah, exactly. And then we've been enjoying those extra bonus trips in the summer. Usually have been late August for us. And even though it's hot, it's nice not to have to pull the kids out of school and get that extra little trip in.
Yeah, no kidding. So it sounds like if you're going in January and late August, you're pretty tuned into the point charts to some of the point stretching season.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely an important part for us, is getting the most out of our points. And so we've watched carefully when to go, when not to go. And even as far as which resorts are better in January, which resorts are better in August, and make sure we're maximizing every point we have.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. You decided to buy into DVC. When in the process did you look into it? Because it sounds like about the second or third trip from what I'm gathering.
It was the second or third trip with the kids. And I actually took a tour myself. Didn't take my wife with or the kids with, but I took a tour down there. They were pushing Animal Kingdom pretty hard at the time and a few others. But we wanted to do some research, wanted to look into it. I learned about the resale market, did way too much reading online, but I never want to jump into anything without fully understanding it.
That is some wise advice.
Yeah. And where we decided to buy first was the Animal Kingdom Villas. It always felt like home for us. It truly was a resort we loved going to even before we were DVC owners, just to go to Sanaa or to check out the Savannah. So we ended up buying Animal Kingdom Villas, just a really small contract the first time. And we later added on another small one at Animal Kingdom and bought some at Saratoga Springs as well, which we only use to stay at other resorts, not for the 11-month mark. But it's good to have those points available at the 7-month mark.
Oh, yeah. Saratoga Springs makes a great network resort.
The other big benefit of the Animal Kingdom Villas, and one of the reasons we bought into it, is the value rooms and the ability to get those. And that really helps us stretch our points as well. We've stayed in the value rooms at least 3 or 4 different times. And we've also even gotten 2 of them at the same time once, where we had some family stay with us in another value room down the hall. So even though they're hard to get, they're not impossible to get. It has been great to be able to stretch points using those.
Yeah, no kidding. Those have to be some dirt cheap rooms in January.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then did you buy your first contract direct or resale?
Our first one was resale. And it was just a 50-point contract. It was loaded, but we started out with only 50 points and foolishly told ourselves, we'll just use this every other year and do it for a few nights. But it didn't take long before we knew that this really was for us, and bought some additional resale points at both Animal Kingdom and Saratoga.
Okay. Did you get the same use year for everything?
Yes. We made sure to get the same use year for all of them, just to make the transferring and usage 7 months a lot more useful.
Yeah, and 11 months, if you bought 2 Animal Kingdoms, you could combine those as well.
Yep, absolutely. We did look into getting different use years, and I know it's possible, and there's even a few little advantages of it, such as extra wait lists. But for us, it just made more sense to have them all the same use year, keep them all in one system. And we've definitely taken advantage of borrowing and banking points around to be able to do everything we want to.
Yeah, you really have to be a power user to use the benefits of multiple use years. It really comes down to multiple wait lists. But then if you go multiple times a year, then having half your points offset in another use year somewhat makes sense, because you're always in a bankable situation when you go. You could always cancel 30 days out and bank the points if you've got 2 use years.
So in our trips in the past, we almost always stayed at value resorts. So we were definitely a Pop Century and an All Stars family. And those were great for us. It got us on property, got us all the benefits of being on property, but didn't have a huge cost. DVC has definitely allowed us to be able to stay in much nicer accommodations and be able to make those trips continue on. So it was definitely a shocker the first time we stayed DVC, and we went from Pop Century the previous trip and stayed at the Grand Floridian as our very first DVC stay.
Oh yeah, that's a little bit of a upswing there. So now, when you guys stay, are you primarily in studios?
Yeah, we're almost always staying in studios. That's part of us maximizing the points that we do have. We're the type of family that spends a lot of time in the parks. And so as much as we do love the resorts and love spending time there, we haven't felt like we needed the bigger room or the kitchen or other things. We did stay at a one bedroom once, and that was at Old Key West. And that just kind of happened to be out of necessity when we were staying over Marathon Weekend 1 year. And that was the only thing really available. It was great, don't get me wrong, but we definitely are more of a studio family, and that helps us get the biggest bang for our buck with our points.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. I bet you felt like, what do I do with all this space coming from an Animal Kingdom value to 3-4 times the space over at a Old Key West one bedroom?
Yeah, it was definitely strange. We were only there a couple of nights. It was at the end of a trip. It was a beautiful room. I would definitely love to stay in more one bedrooms in the future, and I'm sure we will. But we'll usually be doing the studios, and so far everybody's been happy with that in our family.
Okay. Now, how old are your kids now?
The kids are now 11 and 9, and they've been going to Disney basically their entire life. So they don't ask anymore if we're going, they ask when we're going, and we have countdowns, and they even put apps on their phone or on their tablet to know exactly how many days it is till the next trip.
Awesome. Gotta love that. Well, let me ask you this question then. How well do your kids understand DVC?
I think they understand it somewhat. They don't really understand the whole point system, but they do realize that we're part of DVC and that that's what allows us to stay at these resorts. They love talking at the dinner table or while we're driving in the car about what their favorite resorts are, what they like about each park, things like that. So they've definitely become a DVC pair of kids, and they really understand the benefits of the resorts and the neat things that each resort has to offer.
Sounds like I'm going to have to introduce them to my wife, Laura, and get them on a kids panel show.
Absolutely. I'm sure they'd love it.
Yeah, we'll get to work on that one as well. Now, when you stay there yourself, where do you guys eat? Because I know if you're not getting a full kitchen there, how do you guys typically handle food on vacation?
So for us, breakfast is usually something quick. We'll either do granola bars or something like that as we're heading to rope drop. Some of the days we will eat at the quick service at the resort. We rarely do table service for breakfast. And even lunch and dinner, most of our trips, we're doing more quick service than table service in the parks. We have over time started doing a few more table services and looking forward to trying new places and trying new things. But we have no problem going to a quick service or even just getting snacks in the World Showcase as a meal, especially during one of the festivals.
Oh yeah, you can't go wrong there. Sounds like you guys primarily do quick service, snack carts, that kind of deal, and an occasional table service?
That's where we started. I guess I would say that when we first started going, we did one or two table service restaurants a trip. Lately, we've tried to do more and to branch out more, and we really do enjoy the table service restaurants, but we still have no issues going to a quick service.
Fair enough. There's quick services that I like, and there's quick services that I won't go back to. Okay. It's really that simple.
Absolutely. I agree.
Got to diss on Pinocchio's a little bit. What can I say? Okay. We have our favorites there as well, so I'm not dissing on any kind of a quick service.
What we found, and this was even before DVC, is that some of the best quick service restaurants are actually at the resorts. So we'd make a point of going to some of the deluxe resorts, even though we weren't staying there, just to try out the quick service. We had been to many of the resorts just to check out the resort itself and to get a good quick service meal while we're there. But we definitely have been enjoying table service more and more over the years, and Disney Springs, getting to try some of the neat restaurants down there.
What are some of your favorite quick services?
I would say my favorite is probably Captain Cook's at the Polynesian.
Yes.
That one always has good food and always has good variety every time. I'm really looking forward to the new one at the Riviera. From everything I've seen and heard, that one sounds like it's amazing. And since we recently just bought into Riviera and are now owners there as well with a small contract, it'll be even more neat to try out everything at that resort when we go there in January.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying out the food there as well. And the whole resort, let's just be honest. So yeah, I'm definitely doing that. I'm with you on Captain Cook's. If I was going through resort ones, I would also say that Roaring Fork ranks really high with me. And Geyser Point is just off the charts awesome. I guess over at Grand Flow, Gasparilla Grill that's over there.
Yeah.
It's the only 24-hour quick service that we have. That one is really decent as well. And then
some other ones that we like are the Contempo Cafe at the Contemporary. And even at Port Orleans Riverside, their quick service is one of the best ones as well. Haven't been there in a while, but they definitely have a great quick service there.
Yeah, I know we recently went back to Pop and Art and over at the food courts there. And I really enjoyed the food courts that they had. We've mentioned some of your favorite quick service restaurants. Where all have you stayed so far on your points?
So we have stayed at almost every resort at Disney World. The only ones we have not made it to yet are Copper Creek and Kidani. So we've stayed at Jambo many, many times, but we've never made it over to Kidani yet. And then we have stayed at Boulder Ridge twice, but have not done Copper Creek. We're hoping to stay there for the first time next August. We'll see how the 7-month window plays out for us.
Got it. So it sounds like you're clearly in the Team Jambo side of things.
Yeah, definitely. It has to do with the value rooms, having the quick service there and the restaurants there, and also the club level. We've stayed club level twice. Another great advantage of owning there and having the 11-month window at Animal Kingdom. We've only stayed club level for a single night each time we did it. So we did it as part of a split stay. And it was interesting. Both times we stayed at a value room first and then moved to up to club level for our very last night. We kind of used that as a splurge at the end of the trip and a way to relax.
Okay. Now, what was that transition like? That's like the low end of point stretching to the point splurging like you wouldn't believe. So tell me a little bit more about that.
When I did the math, if you stay 4 or 5 nights at value and then do one night at club level, it works out where you're essentially staying the same as a standard view the whole time. And it was a way for us to take those points we saved at the value room and use them for something cool and use them for a splurge staying up in the club level. Kids loved it. We loved it. And it was a great end to the trip. We're even planning on doing it at our next trip in January. In the middle of it, we're going to stay club level just for one night for a little bit of downtime and recharging time and then pick up the trip from there.
You're really just moving down the hall a little bit.
Yeah, and it works well to just be able to call Bell Services, have them come get your bags or drop them off. And you don't even have to worry about when you get to the next resort or have your bags arrived yet because you know they're there. You know they're waiting for you. So it's about as easy as split stays come.
Yeah, no kidding. I never really thought of that combo before, but that is another killer benefit of owning a contract at Animal Kingdom.
So talking about split stays a little bit more, split stays are something that we do almost every trip. We did it out of necessity the first time because we couldn't get enough nights where we wanted to stay. And we loved the ability to have kind of 2 trips in one. And so we've done a split stay almost every trip since, and we plan on them. We look forward to them. So when we go, we're usually going 9 or 10 nights at a time, and we'll stay 5 nights at one resort and 5 nights at another.
Are you typically going from like a Friday night to a Sunday the next weekend, or how do you stack that out?
Try to make sure to have 2 weekends in there, pull the kids out of school the least amount of time possible. So it usually ends up being a Friday or Saturday start, and then a Monday or Tuesday, a week and a half later, that we head home.
Okay. That's a reasonable amount of time to have a real vacation at Walt Disney World. I think with that amount of time, you can really start to come back in and relax and have enough downtime that you realize, hey, look, we're here to just have fun and unwind.
Yep. And staying that many days, it definitely allows you to not stress so much on one of those park days about trying to do everything or see everything. You know, you'll be back to that park in a few more days. And of course, being part of DVC, you know you'll be back next year too. But it is nice to be able to have your trip slow down a little bit and stretch it out over multiple nights.
You mentioned earlier that you guys do rope drop. So do you do like the rope drop in the morning, burn out fast passes, and then come back for some pool time and head back at night? Or how is it that you guys do your touring plans?
So we almost always do rope drop. The kids are up anyway. We're all kind of early birds. And so we plan on rope drops and we appreciate the benefit of being able to go on things with little to no weights, So we are definitely a rope drop family and hit it hard every morning for that first couple hours. From there, we are using some fast passes, kind of taking things as they come. We don't necessarily have a plan for the entire day, but I have a very detailed plan for that first couple hours and exactly what we're doing in what order to maximize that time.
Okay, so you kind of go commando the first couple of hours and then you lighten up.
Yep, absolutely. And so in August, when it's so hot out, we absolutely go back for a break, either use the pool or even just take a nap and go back out at night. We've found in January that with the temperatures, we can handle going the full day many of the days. We don't do it every day, but we will not necessarily always go back for a break either.
Okay. Well, that makes sense as well, because in January, the pools could be hit or miss whether you're going to get to use them or not.
The other thing we'll sometimes use to our advantage is park hopping. So we'll do rope drop at one park and then have fast passes set up at another, or use a table service restaurant or something like that as a little bit of downtime in the middle of the day.
Another great strategy and tip there.
Another thing I wanted to mention about split stays that we do, and one of the things we have learned to love about them, is we try to strategize our park days around where we're staying. So a great example is we'll stay at the Polynesian for the first five nights of a trip and focus on Magic Kingdom. And then we'll stay the second half of the trip at Boardwalk or Beach Club and focus more on Hollywood Studios and Epcot. So if you plan out a split stay, not only is it two trips in one, you can take advantage of the transportation and which parks are nearby.
Absolutely. I look at it like, yeah, it's going to take me 4 or 5 hours to pack all my stuff up and then unpack it and do that split stay change. But if I'm coming from a Magic Kingdom resort to an Epcot resort, and I don't have to go back to Magic Kingdom from the Epcot resorts, I've got my 4 or 5 hours back in just bus time alone.
Yep, absolutely.
That's one of the things that I definitely appreciate about split stays. And like you said, it's almost like it's a separate vacation. Let me ask this question on split stays then. Do you guys unpack everything in your room, or do you kind of like live out of your suitcase knowing in a couple of days that I'm going to have to pack it all back up?
If we're only staying for a couple of nights, we'll live out of the suitcase. But if we're there for 4 or 5 nights, we unpack, we make ourselves at home. And that's kind of been a rule we've had for ourselves, is we try to make sure with the split stay that we are always staying at least 4 or 5 nights. There's times where we stay only one night just to be able to try a new resort for a night or do something unique like club level. But usually we've held ourselves to kind of a rule of 4 or 5 nights to make it worth it. So ideally, we only want to move once in the middle of the trip and not have to hop around a bunch.
The people that I see doing the 4 or 5 6-way split stays are typically booking at like the 3-month mark or the 2-month mark. And they're trying to just figure out where they can cobble in some nights. That's what ends up happening from the best I can see. And, you know, that's just because they're pulling together a long trip at the last minute.
Yeah. And we're almost always booking at the 7-month mark. We'll do something at a home resort at the 11, even if we don't plan to use it. And then right at the 7-month mark to the minute, I'm on there booking and trying to piece together what we're looking for.
Absolutely.
One of the things that we've found is it really helps to be flexible. And so at the 7-month mark, we don't just have one resort that we're saying we have to stay here. We're coming into it saying, okay, here's our top choice, but this is plan B, this is plan C, and we see what's available. And we've even stumbled into some surprises at the 7-month mark. We got a Bay Lake Tower Standard View Studio 1 year that I was not expecting, but it was there, so why not book it? So I think that flexibility really is a good tip for any DVC member, whether it's a new one or a veteran one, that if you're willing to be flexible, there are some things out there you can find either through split stays or at the 7-month mark, just looking for what people let go of or as they change around their resorts.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it could be somebody's holding that standard view at Bay Lake, their 11-month window, trying to see if they can get into your value room. Okay.
Yep, exactly. And we've let value rooms go at 7 months just to be able to stay somewhere else. So it happens.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm going to have to coordinate that with you one of these days, because value rooms and club level are on my list of things to try.
We'll have to make sure to make that happen.
I should have never sold that Animal Kingdom contract. I just kick myself every time. Oh, well, I needed to sell it because I didn't buy it to use it. I bought it to flip it. So you just get emotionally attached to these things. Anyway, so it sounds like add-on-itis has hit on a few times at your house. Because I've heard Animal Kingdom, Saratoga, and now Riviera as well.
Yeah, so we had bought Animal Kingdom and Saratoga 5 or 6 years ago. And we knew that first 50-point contract just wasn't going to cut it. But getting the Saratoga points, we thought we had enough and thought we had enough for the long term. But there was always just this thing in the back of our minds of, we wish we owned an Epcot resort. We love going to Epcot. We love the World Showcase. But the end date of Beach Club and the end date of Boardwalk never appealed to us. So when we were looking at resale, that was always kind of a deal breaker, the 2042 end date. We want to be able to keep going to Disney World and enjoying it well past 2042 and into retirement and taking grandkids someday. So we've always thought that something near Epcot would really be up our alley. And when the Riviera was first announced, it was very interesting to us. Of course, the resale restrictions came, and that was a concern. But the more we talked about it and the more we thought about it, we could tell that this was the resort for us. It gets us the Epcot area. It gets us the Skyliner, which we were really looking forward to long before it opened. It also gets us some of the rooms at Riviera that are harder to get. We plan to stay in a tower studio next October, just my wife and I.
Nice.
And we also plan to use the standard view rooms as many times as we can to help make those points go as far as we can make them.
So now, how did you guys handle the resale part of it with the restrictions? What were you thinking through that? How did you process that?
I know there was a lot of negative out there and a lot of people saying, okay, I'm never going to buy there. They didn't like the resale restrictions and we didn't like them either. But what got us past the resale restrictions personally is that we knew this would be the contract we would hang on to. Even if we needed to sell someday, we'd be more likely to sell off our Saratoga points or do something else. But we know we're going to hang on to that one for the long term. So the resale restrictions really didn't matter to us as much because we'd only be selling as an absolute last resort.
Got it.
The other way that we feel like this resort really is worth owning at personally is those standard view studios. There's so few of them compared to preferred that I think it's going to be harder and harder to get at 7 months. And unless you own there, you're never going to get into those studios and possibly even in the long term, the preferred view studios.
Studios are definitely hot. Now, I haven't seen a breakout yet of standard view to preferred view. Do you have some of that data?
So I do. Based on some number crunching on the total number of points at the resort and also looking at the room layouts and the room views, the breakdown of standard view versus preferred view is right around 25% to 75%. So there's a lot more preferred view rooms at Riviera than standard view.
Okay, so now what are they defining as standard view there? What are you looking at, the parking lot?
Officially, they're saying you're looking at the parking lot, but if you look at a map and see where the parking lot is, those are all the north side of the resort, which also looks at Epcot. So those standard view rooms at Riviera are going to be the ones with the best view of the Epcot fireworks.
Really?
All of the preferred view rooms may have a firework view on the west side of the building, but many of them are going to be views of the pool areas or gardens, things like that, or really a view of Caribbean Beach. So even though the standard view rooms are cheaper, you could argue they will have the better view. And from people starting to stay there just in the last few weeks, it sounds like that's playing out to be true. I've seen a lot of people commenting about their standard view room having an awesome view of the fireworks.
Really? Wow, I'm kind of shocked that DVC would be so disconnected with that. What's a standard? What's a preferred?
So they basically just define standard as parking lot view and define preferred as pool or garden view. And they weren't worrying about or thinking about the fireworks themselves or what's off in the distance beyond that.
I think that's kind of short-sighted in my opinion, because I don't care that I have to look across a parking lot to see the Epcot fireworks. At Bay Lake Tower, all of those Magic Kingdom views, you got to look across the parking lot to see Magic Kingdom and get the awesome firework views. So that's not really making sense to me, but okay.
Yep, I'm with you too. That was something that surprised us and made it even more likely for us to want those standard view ones. save some points and get a good view both.
Wow. Well, that's some really good information to know about owning there. And I think I'm going to lead this to kick off a DRR mini series where we're talking with people who bought DRR owner. And I've got four little mini interviews lined up for people who tell me how they're working through the same struggle that you did with the resale restrictions. And then by that time, I'll have stayed at the resort and we'll air a full review. When's your first trip home to Riviera?
We'll actually be staying there in January. So from the time of recording here, we're 20 days away from our next trip. And that'll be one half of our split stay. So we're starting at the Grand Floridian and we're ending at Riviera with a night at Club Level in between.
Nice. So it's a three-way split stay, Grand Flow, Club Level, and then Riviera. Bro, this is anything but a value trip.
Yep. This one, we're going all out. And it had to do with what was available at 7 months. This was another case where we didn't expect five nights at the Grand Floridian to be there, but they were. So we jumped on it. And that's kind of what we end up doing every year at the 7 month mark is see what's out there and make a trip happen out of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can't say enough for being able to look at this and taking a mindset of saying, you know what, at 7 months, I can switch to something else that's awesome. As long as I own in Walt Disney World, I'm guaranteed I'm going because I got that booked at 11 month. And so at 7 months, the world is my oyster. Let's exactly. Come back in and play and explore resorts. And I don't think there's a bad property out there.
The other interesting thing with this trip is that we're staying at Riviera, which is our new home resort, but we're not actually using Riviera points to do it. We got them with the Saratoga points. So we're taking the Riviera points we bought and banking that first year worth to be able to use the following January.
Awesome.
So we didn't buy a very big Riviera contract. It was a pretty small one, but we're going to use every single one of those points the best we can.
Yeah, no kidding. That sounds awesome. So what are some of the other tips and strategies that you use that you think the listeners would enjoy?
So one of the things that I've done that has worked out really well is even if you can't get a full stay at a resort, I've booked as many nights as I can get and then waitlisted the ones in between. So you're taking a little bit of a risk that never comes through, but a waitlist of one night is much more likely to happen than a waitlist of three or four or five. So we've even pieced together a week made up of 1 and 2 night reservations, and then you can just call member services and have them merge them together.
Oh, once they all come through, right?
Yep, exactly. So once they all come through, then you can have them merge everything together and it's one continuous stay.
And to be honest with you, they want you to do that because if you check out, check in, they got to clean the room again.
Yeah, I forgot to mention with Riviera also, one of the other reasons that we ended up buying there is because we bought such a small contract. And there is a risk with the exit strategy due to the resale restrictions, but we felt like buying a very small contract really minimizes that. If someone's out there looking for 50 or 75 points at Riviera, even on the resale market, they're buying those points to stay at Riviera. They're not buying them to stay anywhere else, especially with the cost. So if we ever did have to sell, we feel that having a small contract is going to make that a lot less risky.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, well, obviously, whoever buys Riviera resale should know the only place they're staying is Riviera. But if you're a Riviera owner already and you're looking at this going, man, I could really use another 50 or 75 points at Riviera for when I stay there. If you've bought, let's say, 200 direct, what you would do is I would use up all of the resale ones at Riviera first, and I'd even borrow those out to get a stay in and stay there. And then I'd come back in and backfill with my direct contract that has the flexibility to go everywhere. So it makes sense for a Riviera owner to want to pick that up, knowing that they can only stay there. They've got the power to leverage more points there and piece something together for a longer stay. Or somebody who looks at it and goes, you know what, I just want enough points to sneak into a tower studio once a year.
There's still going to be a market out there for people who want to purchase Riviera resale. The restrictions will change who that is or how they're using it, but I still think there's going to be a market out there, especially for this resort, which from every review I've read and seen, everybody's saying is absolutely gorgeous.
I'm hearing a lot of positives on it. I'm also hearing a lot of not my cup of teas. So I'm hearing both of them, which doesn't shock me because every resort has that.
One of the other things we really like about Riviera is the split bathroom and the layout of the studio too, and that it really does work well for four, even five people. And there's not a lot of DVC resorts that work really well and have that split bathroom concept. But we enjoy staying at Polynesian and Grand Floridian for the same reason. And it is nice to be able to have two people getting ready in the morning.
Yeah, 40% of your crew in a five-person crew could be using the bathroom and somehow getting ready. Or actually even more, because you can have one in the tub, one in the shower, and probably one at the sink.
Yep, so you can get ready quickly if you need to and make those rope drops happen.
Yeah, that's an awesome part of that deal. I've actually heard people start to say they think the studios will be better for a five-person trip than a one-bedroom simply due to the fact that you've got that extra split-tub shower deal.
And we've been noticing that already even before Riviera. We actually travel with five of us often. We're a family of four, but my wife's twin sister often tags along with us. So we found that we actually travel as five people just as often as four, even though we're a family of four. And so we've been getting three adults and two kids into the studios without much trouble. When you have that split bathroom, it makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, it does. And it's great that you can travel with family members as well. Kind of makes the vacation a little bit more memorable. And if you all get along great, that's even better.
Yeah, we get along great. And she loves doing rope drops as well and tours the same way we do. So it really is nice to have that extra adult along. We've also traveled with my extended family and others over the years. So it's been nice to bring along family. And in some cases, they've stayed at other resorts from us. And in other cases, we've been able to get them into DVC accommodations as well.
Got it. Speaking of family members here, what are some of your favorite family memories and stories from going to Disney?
So back to the first trip we took our son to, one of my favorite memories, and I think it's really what kind of sparked the magic for me personally, was sitting at Magic Kingdom and watching a parade. And I quit watching the parade itself and started watching him, watching a 1.5-year-old with big eyes, just enjoying everything he's seeing. I realized that you could really start enjoying Disney literally through the eyes of a child. And watching him and watching his excitement and his enjoyment was something that really resonated with me and helped me enjoy it a lot more.
Absolutely. Seeing that childlike awe and wonder through them is really kind of cool. It's something that's really great to come back in and do this. And I know travel agents I've had on the show quite a few times, and people will come back in and say, well, my kids aren't going to remember it. Their response back to that is just point on saying, yeah, but you will. You will remember that time with your kid and that awesome family member that you're going to have.
Yep. I've had that exact conversation with a few people. And my usual response is, whether they remember it or not, you will, and they're enjoying themselves. And you can tell that they're having a blast. At this point, our kids have gone enough times that they understand all the parks. They know how everything works, but they still get that new childlike awe at new things, new rides, and they're able to really enjoy themselves. And that it just never stops. You never reach an end for that, no matter how many times you go.
Brother, I'm in my late 40s, and I still get that awe and excitement and giddiness when I step foot in Magic Kingdom. So,
yep, exactly. I mean, I'm right there with you.
I think everybody listening to this show can relate to that one.
Speaking of favorite family memories, did you know the DVC Rental Store has a cruise swap program that'll allow you to come back in and book a Disney cruise and use your points as either a down payment or payment in full for that cruise? The same applies to ABD, and it applies to cash rooms at Walt Disney World. So if you're ever looking at the site going, why can't I ever get a club level room? Call up DVC Rental Store, trade those points in. They're not as expensive as you think, and they can book you a club-level room at any of the cash resorts. Also, as well, a lot of people get frustrated when they can't get in on the free dining programs that are going on. Guess what? Call up DVC Rental Store, swap some points out. They'll put you in touch with their travel agency over at BR Guest Vacations, and they can get you a club-level room using your points. DVC Rental Store, Be Our Guest Vacations, Point Swap Program. And now back to the interview.
So now that you've been a DVC member for about 7 years, what would you do differently if you had it to do all over again?
So I'm not sure I would do a lot differently. Of course, everybody says they'd buy in sooner, and I would agree with that. But for our family, I think we bought in at the right time. We knew it was the right thing for us. And I'm really happy with the resorts we bought into. If anything, what I might do different is I might have a couple more resorts to have that 11-month window at. It's nice to have a few options, and we've learned over the years staying at all the resorts what we like and don't like about each one of them. So I think we'd potentially buy some points at Polynesian or do something like that differently, because we've ended up staying there quite a bit and enjoying it. But I really have no regrets, and we've been able to use our points and enjoy every place we stayed at.
That is really, truly awesome. Because, and I think part of that happiness comes from your flexibility and your appreciation of the different resorts.
Yeah, we try to look for the best in every resort. They all have pros and cons, but I truly believe that every single DVC resort has its advantages and the things that make it special. And although we haven't stayed at some of them as often, we definitely enjoyed every single one. I can honestly say I don't think there's a bad resort in the group.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. Absolutely. So what are some of your favorite resorts then? And what are some of your favorite features of these resorts?
Our favorite resort still is Animal Kingdom Villas. That one is definitely the one that feels like home to us when we stay there. But we've really started liking the Polynesian. I like the atmosphere there, the restaurants, Trader Sam's, of course.
Oh, gotta love Trader Sam's.
And the size of the studios and the fact there's a split bathroom and a little more space to stretch out really does make a difference when you have that fifth person, especially.
Okay. At this point in time, I want to come back over to what I think is one of the best gifts to DVC people who are value-minded out there. I'm telling you, Micah, this site ranks in the top 5 Disney sites on my list. I link your site out 50 million times a year, I swear. And I absolutely love it. And tell me a little bit about mouseperks.com and the history behind it.
Well, thanks. Yeah, the history behind Mouse Perks is that I wanted an excuse to kind of play around with an Android app and try developing one. I'm a software engineer in my day job, but I wanted to do something on the side and just have the experience of doing an Android app. So I tried to come up with something that people would use and people would actually take advantage of. So what I created was Mouse Perks, which is an Android app and a website that basically pulls in all the different discounts available to you, whether you are Tables in Wonderland, annual pass holder, DVC member, or even the Disney Visa card. And I found that being a member of these different programs, you have to go to a different website, try to keep up to date on what discounts you have and don't have. And I wanted to consolidate them all into one place and make that friendly to use on a mobile device, so you can pull it up on your phone from within the parks or at a resort and see exactly which discounts are available to you. So my goal was to have it be quick, simple to use, easy to use. It's not too flashy, but it works, and it works fast and gets you the information you need.
Absolutely. That's what I love about it, because I'm a value guy, right? I'm a guy who loves to drink champagne on a beer budget, kind of a thing, to quote a lot of my family members. A lot of my family members look at me when I first started dating my wife and her families, and they're like, this guy is kind of weird because he pinches a penny really, really, really hard, but then he goes and buys lavish things. And I think DVC is one of those. And so it is like right up my alley to come into this and go, hey, where am I getting a deal? Because one of my personal values is Chad doesn't pay retail for anything. Okay. I need a deal. Okay.
Yep. I'm the exact same way. We're always looking for deals, looking for the best ways to maximize, whether it's Southwest Airlines points to get us down there, or whether it's using Tables in Wonderland to make sure we're getting the best deal possible. We're always looking for the way to maximize not only our DVC points, but also our money when we're traveling.
What excites me about your site is I can look at this, and as we start to come back in, and somebody might say, Morimoto Asia's is the greatest place to go, and I decide I'm going to add that on my bucket list. Well, as soon as I make the mental decision that this is going on my bucket list and I want to stay there, I'm on mouseperks.com looking up to see what kind of deals are out there and what are the gotchas and what are the rules. Is this in Tables? Is it a DVC discount? Is it an annual pass one? Do they do a Visa one? What's the gotchas on it so that I can come back in and go to Morimoto's and then pay with my discounted gift card? And so if my meal was $100, well, I've already gotten 13 to 15% off with a discard because I'm paying it like that. And then you're telling me you're going to take another 20% off with Tables in Wonderland. And Chad just gets really super excited.
Yep. We're doing the gift card thing too and trying to maximize exactly how much we can save.
Yeah. So that's why I like the site. And you said it kind of pulls them all in. To me, it looks like it's just like a simple table that you have or a little database that you've created that just kind of clearly, easily shows, you can say, hey, show me the resorts page. And every resort is listed there. Every dining establishment is listed there and the programs that they're in.
I have it organized by dining first. So if you are in a theme park, you can go to that page. If you're at one of the resorts, there's a page just for the resorts and then another one for Disney Springs. And then I've got all the other perks listed as well. So things like shopping, tickets and tours, recreation, all the other discounts that are available to you as either an annual pass holder or DVC member. I've also even listed the Disneyland Resort and the standalone DVC resorts. But I know the focus of what people usually use it for is Disney World and is dining. There's not nearly as many people who are looking at the perks out there in the other areas, but there's some good ones there as well.
Absolutely. To me, I look at it for everything, right? Because to me, it's like my go-to spot for how do I get a deal with the word Disney attached to it. And it doesn't matter if it's Vero, Hilton Head, Alani, Grand Cal, Disneyland, it's there. And I can't thank you enough for doing that. And as well, there's also, when you're on the site, I'm going to throw this out there. There's a little tiny hidden button on there. It's a donate button. And if you guys could go in and do that, if you like that site, go in and do this because there's not sponsors ads and it's not overwhelming you with ads or that kind of a deal. There's a couple Google AdWords out there, but my ask for everybody who loves that site and can see the value in it is go out there and there's a little tip jar there. Throw Mike a couple bucks. I do it every couple of years or so just to say, hey man, you've saved me hundreds of dollars from this little website. I'm going to give you back part of it.
I appreciate that, Chad. Thank you. I tried my best to keep the website up to date and keep everything accurate whenever new discounts are out there, but it does take time and none of it is automated. It's all things that I have to go pull off of the various websites and get into Mouse Perks.
Oh, I know. As a content creator, I look at it and I go, man, this is a great piece of content here. This is an absolutely wonderful resource. I can't shout it out enough. But I also know as a content creator, all the work that goes into it as well. So that's why I want to encourage people to come back in and click that donate button.
The other thing I want to mention is there's a lot of discounts out there that are actually unpublished ones. And over time, I've had people submit them to me either through Facebook or through the email address that's part of Mouse Perks.
Yeah, I know one of my favorite unpublished ones that's out there is Tables in Wonderland at Top of the World.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Not officially listed on the program, but when you hand that card over to your server, they're like, yeah, no problem. I'll put this in for you.
Yep, and there's quite a few other unpublished discounts as well. Within Mouse Perks, I try to list things as either unconfirmed discounts or unpublished discounts, and they're either things that we get reports of sometimes working and other times not, or things that have just never been published but have consistently worked for people over the years. I will admit it's hard to keep track of some of them because you end up with conflicting stories, but I do my best to put things out there that are as up to date as I can.
Yeah, absolutely. And people need to keep in mind as well, this is another fan-driven site and a fan-driven resource that looks at this and it's like all of the other ones that are out there and like my podcast. We look at this and we go, hey, look, Disney's got some complicated waters to navigate. How can we create some content to try to help people? And the site's offered as a guy who's trying to do his best to come back in and help your family save a few bucks. But at the end of the day, don't think Disney publishes this. And if a discount goes away, don't shoot the messenger. Just send them a note and we'll verify and get it updated. Does that sound pretty fair?
Yeah. So it's always best to just ask. That's my main advice. I always use my own site to make sure I'm getting the best discount. But even then, when I'm at a restaurant or at a lounge, I'll ask and I'll see what they say the best discount is. And it's interesting how many people find the unpublished ones that way. And I appreciate it when I get those emails and when I get that information of new discounts people found or things they stumbled into. And that includes ones that are no longer working, things that used to be discounts and went away. It's nice to have people contact me when they learn something about a discount.
Yeah, because what it does is it allows us to like crowdfund this information.
Right, exactly.
Information from the member community and people who use the site to help people who use the site. Anyways, we'll wrap this up. I know you didn't want to talk about Mouse Perks an awful lot. It's just my favorite deal and I'm so excited about it that I had to do it. And I also had to plug the pitch for the donate button.
I appreciate that.
Micah, tell me some of the unique things that your family has leveraged through the DVC Membership Extras program.
So we've tried to do a few things, especially in our last trip. We enjoyed the beverage tasting series, and my wife has done the painting classes a couple times. So she did the painting class at the Top of the World Lounge with my sister one trip, and then with her sister a year later. The beverage tasting series, my wife and I got to do while her sister watched the kids, and that was at Reunion Station at Wilderness Lodge. And it was a really neat opportunity to do a special event. People hosting the event did a really good job of teaching the history of the cocktails, talking about the history of the resort, and then you got to make a couple of them yourself. And they just did a really great job of everything from the presentation, how everything was set up. It was all first class. And I would definitely recommend doing it if people have the ability to.
I can't speak highly enough of Reunion Station. That is a little DVC hidden gem, and they don't get enough shout outs. They really, truly, truly, truly don't. Now, you have to be a direct member to book any of the events there or have a blue card. But I'm telling you, the cake decorating, it sounds like the beverage one. The animation class was really cool with a guy named Todd who helped on Lilo and Stitch and a few other projects. And then the third one that's out there is the photography one that I've heard a lot of great things about.
So the Speakeasy Craft Cocktails is the one we did, and it was with Mike and Jen, and they both did a great job. And they gave the history.
That one's going on my list now.
They gave the history of the Pacific Northwest. It's tying to the resort. It's tying to even the cocktails themselves. So they tried to pick cocktails that went along with the region. And one of them even was a smoked cocktail. So we got to create it and then put in a little smoker box and smoke your own cocktail.
Yeah, that one's definitely going on my list now. I think as soon as we hang up, I'm going to start looking to see if I can book that on an upcoming trip. Reagan and I did the painting with a view, and I may have an episode coming out with Marla on that one as well. So be on the lookout. But that was an incredible experience as well. I'm glad to hear that your wife enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, she definitely did. They got to paint Olaf on one of them and then paint Ariel on another one. So each time you go, it's a different painting. You can even do the class twice in one trip, and they make sure to change up which painting you're doing.
Yeah, that is really, really, really cool. Now, what are some of your other family traditions or family memories or things that are unique that to your family about Disney and the way you guys do
Disney? So a couple of the interesting things or even silly things that we do is we have a tradition of always guessing the color of the first monorail that we're going to see. So when we first get on property, the kids are saying black or red or trying to figure out which monorail we're going to see first. And it becomes a game for us. We don't even have to bring it up. They just start doing it.
Okay. As you get close to Magic Kingdom, it's what's the first color we see, huh?
Yep. So we've got a few little things like that that we've just kind of grown into over the years. Every trip, we always have the kids take pictures with a sombrero on their head in Mexico. We like doing some silly ride photos and trying to all do the same thing. So we'll pretend we're sleeping on a ride or pretend like we're extra scared on a ride that isn't really that scary. But when every single person is doing it in your group, it makes for some really funny and interesting photos.
Yeah, I could see that.
Another interesting thing that we did once is we were at Rope Drop for Magic Kingdom, and they came out and started going through the crowd and looking for people, and they picked us to be on Good Morning America that morning. And it was just completely random, but they pulled us and a couple other families into the park way before it opened, and we were in the background for a Good Morning America live shoot and just had to stand there and wave, and it was a really neat experience that is one of those magical kind of moments that you can't plan for, but sticks with you and is a memory you have forever.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you have a photo from that?
We do, actually, yeah.
I'll have to put that one into the show notes for sure.
Sounds good.
I'm just looking at some of the photos you've submitted now, and I see the sombrero one. I see something on a red slide that looks interesting.
I went on a trip with my mother in 2014, and it was fun to be able to go, just the two of us, and spend a week at Disney. It's one of those things that having an annual pass and being a DVC member allows you to do. We decided to recreate an old family photo. So we found an old photo from the 80s when we were there, and we recreated it ourselves. And I know my wife and her sister have done the same thing with old family photos and trying to recreate them in the parks just for the fun of it.
Awesome. Well, I'll definitely put both of those into the show notes. Let's go into our rapid fire questions. Getting our ears on here.
Sounds good.
So Dole Whip or Mickey Bar?
I got to go with Mickey Bar. I do love the Dole Whip too, especially the swirl version, but Mickey Bars are my go-to.
Ah, you're killing me there. Churro or Mickey Pretzel?
Mickey Pretzel.
Poncho or umbrella?
We actually always do a good raincoat, and the rain doesn't keep us out of the parks. We're going no matter what, and you can have some of your best days with the lowest crowds when it's pouring rain out. We're all in on wearing raincoats and making the best of it.
Okay. Well, I mean, it is Florida. It's a tropical environment. It is what it is, folks.
Exactly.
You guys wear ears or rock a t-shirt?
We usually rock a t-shirt, and we've even designed our own matching t-shirts for our group. So we've done a couple different ones over the years and have fun wearing matching outfits on a few of the days. I suppose I should get some ears of my own someday too. It'd be fun. But at this point, we're mostly a t-shirt family.
Okay. So you're a matching t-shirt family.
Yep.
So what's your favorite park?
My favorite park as a whole would have to be Animal Kingdom. There's just something about the atmosphere there and the ambiance there that I just love, especially at night.
Okay. Favorite land?
Probably World Showcase. I don't know if that really counts as a land, but it's just a place that's great to be and great to wander around and kind of have a low-key day, low-key evening.
Well, there's essentially two lands in Epcot right now. Hopefully with the new revised Epcot, they'll divide it up a little bit more. Maybe we'll start to see it as a different lands. So what's your favorite attraction?
My favorite attraction is probably Tower of Terror. It's just one that I've always enjoyed and love the theming there. But there's a few others that are a close second. I love Everest and love the new Flight of Passage.
Do you guys normally drive or fly?
We always fly down there. As a kid growing up, we drove once or twice. But as an adult here bringing my family, we always fly. Typically fly Southwest and using Southwest points to make that flight cheap or free.
Yeah, no kidding. That is a long haul from Wisconsin.
Yeah, for sure.
And what's the best place on property to relax and enjoy a drink or a dessert?
So because you said the word relax, the place that first comes to mind for me is Nomad Lounge. We really enjoy Nomad Lounge. Even the kids enjoy getting a beverage there as well. They have appetizers. It really is a neat place to be able to just relax for a little bit and have some downtime. There's plenty of other lounges around Disney World that we love, like Trader Sam's or a Hidden Gem, which is the Blue Zoo Lounge. But for true relaxation, I think the Nomad Lounge does it for me.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go over to Blue Zoo. That's one that I haven't been to.
Yeah, we enjoy Blue Zoo Lounge. And there's a few other hidden lounges as well that people don't talk about as much. And that includes at the Flying Fish or at Citricoast. Some of those signature restaurants have a neat bar area that you don't need a reservation for. You can just walk in, and if there's availability, you can get the same food and order off the same menu as the restaurant itself.
The Patreons have a VIP Producers Club question, and they want to know, do you have a single tip for maximizing the value out of your membership?
Don't be afraid to try a new resort or even do a split stay, and it really can maximize the value of your points. And it can also get you that variety and maximize your experiences you're having. There's some people who shy away from split stays, but if you've never done it, give it a try. And if you're afraid to stay at some resort because you've heard something about it that's negative, give it a try. There's something at every resort for everyone.
Yeah, I'll just say this. Every resort does have its own pluses and minuses. And that's why we do the resort review series so that you can get some different opinions and perspectives on them and start to figure out if that'll be a great use of your points or not.
And I really think that one of the best parts of DVC is the variety, and it's the ability to stay at all these different resorts, different styles and types of accommodations, and the variety is one of the most amazing parts about it.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one. Let's jump over to my Tinkerbell question. So if Tinkerbell were to put the 2,000 one-time use points into your account, how would you spend them?
So I've thought about how I would use the 2,000 Tinkerbell points, and what I think would be the most valuable for us is bringing a bunch of our family. And there's people who have gone once or never been able to go. And I'd like to bring as many people as I can, rent a bunch of grand villas, doesn't even matter which resort, just whatever we can get to hold as many people as possible. Help them be able to experience Disney and see why we love it so much.
Absolutely. Share it with the people who matter most to you. So you'd probably just sit down and use a point calculator and go, how can I fit the most people in? And let's just bring in all the extended family and tell them, hey, look, all you got to do is cover airfare and park ticket and food.
Yep, exactly. So we'd probably end up at multiple grand villas at Old Key West or something like that to stretch those 2,000 points to as many people as we can fit.
Okay. I'm kind of shocked that you wouldn't just like rent out all 10 value studios for them. But
take the whole wing.
Exactly. They're Tinkerbell's points. These are pixie dusted, baby. They've got some magic behind them.
But it would be also a good excuse to get us into a grand villa. Since we don't even stay in one bedrooms very often, a grand villa would be quite the experience.
Yeah, I've stayed in a grand villa once and I'm doing it again this May. So I'm definitely down with the whole grand villa thing. They are really, 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 really nice.
Yep. Someday that would be fun. That's definitely something that would be a bucket list kind of item for me.
Yep. Now, speaking of places where you've done this, have you used your points for like RCI or a cruise or any of these other concierge programs?
No, we have not. We haven't used RCI or a cruise or anything else. We have rented out points once. And we've also transferred in points a couple times. So we've done transfers from other DVC members.
Okay.
We purchased a transfer of a bunch of boardwalk points, which allowed us to get a boardwalk standard view. And then we turned around and rented out our Animal Kingdom points to someone else who wanted to stay there. And so we were able to kind of get the best of both worlds with renting on both sides of it at the same time. And we came out a little bit ahead in the deal. We got the resort we wanted and the person we rented to got the resort they wanted.
Awesome. And everybody got their 11-month window.
Exactly.
That really sounds like that worked out well. What all is left on your DVC bucket list?
So for sure, the short-term bucket list is we want to finish staying at every single Walt Disney World DVC resort. That's something that we set out to do when we first bought into DVC. And we've been buying a magnet from the gift shop from everyone we stay at and trying to fill the fridge up with them. So we need to finish that out by staying at Copper Creek and staying at Kidani. And then we will have checked off every single resort that's part of the Walt Disney World DVC, at least. Going forward, we want to stay at all the DVC resorts. So we definitely have going to Aulani and going to Grand Californian on our bucket list. We want to stay at both of those someday in the future, and we plan to for sure.
Awesome. I've been to Grand Cal. Absolutely love it. That is probably as hard or harder to book than the value rooms outside of getting a studio at the 11-month mark. There's 23 of them there. So I've been able to have pretty good success right at 11 months getting a studio, unless it's D23 going on there or Disney's published a Moonlight Magic event a year in advance. And then it's all sold out at 8 a.m. on 11 months. So we've covered the what would you do differently, but what advice do you have for new or prospective members?
So the advice that I have, and I know it's been talked about before on some of your previous shows, it's just to make sure DVC is right for you and for your family. It isn't for everyone. And this community of people obviously loves it, myself included. But I've seen people buy it without knowing what they're getting into. They're not able or willing to book at 7 months, and then they're surprised a month or two out that there's no availability, or they just don't have the way to plan ahead. So my main advice would be make sure you truly understand how the system works, exactly what you're getting and what you're not getting, and make sure it fits right for your family. And if it does, it's absolutely wonderful, and it has been one of the best things for us. But make sure it's right for you as well.
Yeah, it really comes down to making an informed and educated decision.
Right.
Because I know before I really created my own Facebook group and started hanging out with the people who listen to this show in the MyDVC Points community group, I would just cringe when somebody came into a DVC group and starts posting, I'm a new member and I can't book this and I'm so disappointed and I'm going, man, I'm sorry. I wish I could help you, but part of the reason why I do this podcast is so I can hopefully get to you before you make the decision and give you the information so that you can make an informed and educated decision. So let's go ahead and wrap up this show then, Micah. Where can people follow up with you if they want to connect with you or know more about mouseperks.com?
So you can email me for MousePerks related things. It's admin@mouseperks.com. Otherwise, I'm a frequent poster at both the EZWDW forums and the DVC Info forums. And I'm also part of the Facebook group for my DVC points. I don't use Facebook or social media a lot, but I am out there from time to time and can answer questions and I'm available through that.
over at Russ's DVC Info site, what's your username there?
I am Micah008 at each of the forums or other places that I use.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Micah.
Yeah, thank you, Chad.
Well, that puts another episode in the books. Next week, we'll be back with two episodes. They're really mini episodes, and they're just mini interviews. We'll be talking with Alicia and Tara, and we'll be hearing their Disney Riviera story and why they bought into the resort. I'd like to thank our sponsors for today's show, DVC Resale Market, DVC Rental Store, Be Our Guest Vacations, Incredible Vacation Homes, and Monera Financial. I'd also like to thank Ouijibuck for an awesome 5-star review. This podcast has created such a great DVC network of people that truly love Disney. I love the fact that they have real owners of DVC and the listeners get real opinion. Chad does not have an angle, and his love for Disney and DVC shines through for every episode. You can tell the host spends a lot of time on research, topics, and high-quality audio production. Keep up the fantastic work. Thank you so much there, Ouijibuck, and thank you for listening today. Thank you for sharing out the show. Have a magical day.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.